Well, thank you, everyone, for giving me a chance to share what God has put on my heart. We'll go through some scripture reading, some narration, just a mixture of stuff to just reflect on mothers and how important they are. So we'll just be a walk, a message. I've done some narration, and so I just thank you, and the title of my message today is A Faithful Mother Believes and Obeys God. Amen. And so I have notes. If anyone would like them, let me know, and I can get them available to you next week or email them to you. But I didn't bring them with me today. But I do have some notes if you would like. So the verse we're just going to look, our focus verse is going to be Luke 1:38. And so if you have your Bibles, if you want to look that up in Luke, and we'll be looking at different scriptures. And if you're able, in reverence to God's holy word, if you can stand when you get it. And if you don't have your Bibles, we'll just read it along. Okay, so our scripture today is Luke 1:38, and it reads, "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word,' and the angel departed from her." Thank you. You may be seated. And I'll say a word of prayer. Dear Father, I just pray now that you would speak to us by your holy word, and I pray, Father, that you would minister to all of us where we're at by your blessed Holy Spirit. And we thank you for this day when we honor mothers, and we thank you for who you are, especially our Father in heaven. And we just pray your blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. So the first thing I wanted to kind of reflect back on is, what is a faithful mother? And the video that we just played, a lot of the things that it was sharing a mother does is from Proverbs 38. And it showed how she did things for her family and also her community. And so a faithful mother is does many things for her family and community. And another thing that a faithful mother does is she provides for the needs of her family. And that's also in Proverbs 38. And I'll just read that. Proverbs 31. In Proverbs 31, verse 27, it says, "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness." And so we've shared a lot about mothers, and now we're going to look at what is a faithful God. And so a faithful God provides for our many needs also, but far more than earthly parents can do. And a faithful God also sees our needs long before we have them. So we were sharing with what earthly mothers do. Now we're shifting to what a heavenly Father does. And one of the things he does, he saves us all who believe from the eternal consequences of sin. And he also wants to save us daily from the power of sin and Satan in our lives. So one question is, why do we need that type of saving? So let me go back. He saves us from the eternal consequences of sin, but also the daily power of sin and Satan in our lives. So why do we need daily saving from sin and the power of Satan? Well, to look at that, I just want us to think a little bit about creation, the fall of man, and the promise of a Savior. And so I'm just going to kind of slowly go through the scriptures, and we're going to start with creation. And just listen and read along in your Bibles, if you have it, or you can read along there. So we're going to go all the way back to the beginning of creation, and let's see what the scriptures say. So everybody ready? Okay. So let's take a look at creation. Let's see what the Bible says. And some of this I've narrated. Just
in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1.
So we're starting with the first verse in the Bible, Genesis 1:1. And if you have your Bibles and you want to read along, you can kind of read along, because I'm not going to have all the scriptures. Or when you go home, take a look at the story, Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. So just to get us thinking, we're just going to walk through the scriptures.
So God created man. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day, Genesis 1:31.
Okay, let's see here.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Genesis 1:27.
Okay, so we started out with Genesis 1:1, where it says God created the heavens and the earth. And then in Genesis 1:27, God created male and female. And then
God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day, Genesis 1:31.
And one thing I'll share with you is that I've learned, my mind kind of like, I don't know, some people's mind goes, as we say, a mile a minute, and all over the place constantly. And what the Lord put on my heart is I need to hear his word every different way. Read it, listen to it. But the thing about listening to God's word is you'll get something different when you listen to it than you read it. And even if I read it and listen back to my own, there's something about listening and reading. So that's kind of why I wanted to mix it up. Listening to the word is very powerful, and so is reading. So I've narrated some of it just to give variety, and it'll help you focus more as you're listening. Either you read it or listen. Either way, it's powerful. And so those were the first. This was in Genesis chapter 1. And so God made everything, and it was good. So I just want you to think for a minute about that, is that obedience requires us to choose between a set of options. God just created the earth. He created man. He put man in it. Everything was good, but we're going to see. I wrote that everything, although God made everything good, he gave Adam a specific set of instructions.
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." Genesis 2:16-17.
So I'm going to leave that up there for a minute, and I just want to think about what that verse says, that God made everything good. And they were just given one commandment of what not to do. And God gave that commandment to Adam before he created Eve. And they weren't aware. They knew the command, but they didn't know that there was a tempter that had access to them. And then, but God obviously was aware that there was a tempter when he gave the command. All God told him is what not to do, because man was never meant to know everything. We were just meant to be fully obedient to God, the one who knows everything. And that's crucial, because even though, again, God created everything good, he gave them a command, but he didn't have to talk about the tempter. Their focus was supposed to be completely on God and being obedient to God. But with that choice and option, man did not stay obedient to God. And so I just put something there for us to think about. When we fail to obey God, the blame game starts. It's no one else's fault when we disobey, but our human nature causes us to want to blame other people. So we're going to listen to a couple more scriptures. And this is in Genesis 3, 9 through 13.
Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Genesis 3, 9 through 13.
So the Lord asked Adam, and Adam said it was the woman, and the woman said it was the serpent, which was true. He did deceive her, but it was Adam's responsibility to obey God's command. So something else for us to think about for a moment. There's always consequences for our disobedience. Regardless of who we blame, there still always is going to be consequences. And another thing to think about, a holy God is the only one that can pay the penalty for our sins, for sin, and forgive us of our sins. So now let's take a look at the promise of a Savior. So this next verse is God speaking to the serpent. So this is what the Lord God said to the serpent, and this is Genesis 3:15.
"And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Genesis 3:15.
And this seed is speaking of Christ, the one that should be born of the woman. And then the next verse is Genesis 3:21.
"Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them." Genesis 3:21.
And so earlier in that chapter, it talks about God calling them and saying, "Where are you?" And they were hiding from him, and they tried to make clothes of fig leaves, but that wasn't acceptable to God. And so he made tunics of skin, so an animal had to be sacrificed for the covering, and God was beginning to show that there has to be a shedding of blood to cover our sins. And so God ultimately had to provide their covering. What they were trying to offer to God, hello, hi, wasn't good enough. And so in the verse we read previously, the Lord says, if you eat of the fruit of the tree, you will surely die. And after that disobedience, now man is subject to three different types of death. We all physically die, and we just read that in Genesis 2:17. We're all born since Adam and Eve sinned, spiritually dead. That means we're born with our soul and spirit separated from God's spirit. We're born dead in sin. That's Ephesians 2:1. And then Revelations 20:10-15 speaks of eternal death, where we will be separated from God eternally, and that's the second death. And so God is speaking of a Savior that will one day come to deliver us all from this death. And so before we get to the verse, I have a couple more things we're going to look through. And so now we've just heard and read that verse about the woman's seed, the beginning of the prophecies of Christ to come. And so before we get to the verse we read in the beginning, we're just going to take another walk through a historical timeline. And this is of the Bible history can be divided up in different segments. And so this is just seven segments of Bible history, because we started all the way in the beginning and we looked at Genesis, and then we're going to go all the way to the birth of Christ. And so I just wanted to share with you briefly what happened in between, and then how people look at Bible history. So we'll just...
The Adamic Age, Genesis 1 through 8, from the creation to the flood. The Noachian Age, Genesis 9 through 11, from the flood to the call of Abraham. The Abrahamic Age, Genesis 12 through Exodus 19, from the call of Abraham to the giving of the law. The Mosaic Age, Exodus 20 through 1 Samuel 31, from the giving of the law to the reign of David. The Davidic Age, 2 Samuel 1 through 2 Kings 25, from David's ascension to the throne to the restoration. In the Davidic Age, this prophecy in Isaiah 7:14 was given. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. The two reads of Bible history are the Ezraitic Age, Ezra through Malachi, from the restoration to the birth of Christ, and number seven, the Christian Age, Matthew through Revelation, from the birth to the second coming of Christ.
So we are now in the Christian age. And so the time had come for a Savior to be born. Prophecy had been given since the beginning that spoke of him, and we just looked at a couple scriptures that spoke of Christ, but just to give you the background on the verse that I read in the beginning, who would be found faithful? So I have a little short animated video. It's animated. I'm a graphical thinker in person, so that's why I do the narration and listen. I just like a bunch of different stuff, but I tried to make it clear, and I just want to share on this special day. So it's short, but it brings us to our verse, and then we'll carry on. Okay, so a faithful response, Mary's response, and this brings us back to our verse for the day. Mary's response was a faithful response, and I'll read it again. It says, "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word,' and the angel departed from her." So without wavering, by Mary saying, "Behold, the maidservant," she declared herself the Lord's servant to voluntarily do her will, not his will, not her will. And she prophesied throughout the years, was saying there was going to be a Savior. And when the time came for the Savior to be born, there had to be a faithful mother. And God chose her, and the angel announced it, and she readily submitted. And so on this Mother's Day, that's why we're looking at Mary as an example of a faithful mother. And so just a couple things to think about Mary is Mary believed the things she was told by the angel of the Lord. And Mary obeyed God along with her husband Joseph and submitted to his plan for their lives. They, whenever the angels told them to stay somewhere, they stayed. When they were going to be in harm's way, they moved. They submitted to everything that needed to be done. And then Mary lived a life that gave God glory. And then Mary's life was a blessing to others. So a little of my testimony, everyone shared earlier, but I thought I would save mine for now, just briefly though. But it was 27 years on Mother's Day that I rededicated my life to the Lord. After giving my life to the Lord when I was a teenager, around 15, finished high school, kind of did my own thing, then got into some stuff and kind of strayed away from the Lord. It was the week before Mother's Day that I actually dedicated my life to the Lord. And my beautiful daughter was 3 years old. And it was there that I literally, honestly, even though I had given my faith to the Lord when I was 15, I was so confused. It was like, I don't even know what religion I'm going to be. And this is true. And so my mother was going to church. I wasn't going to church. And she told me, "Hey, Yvette, come to the church." And so I came. So it was her call. I think she was out at a payphone or something, or she called me and told me. And so we're speaking of mothers. And so here I am, already knowing of the Lord, but going my own way. And she called and invited me to come to church. And I was lost and confused, even though, so people come to the Lord and they think they can't fall astray, but it happens. And so I literally, like I said, I don't know what religion I want to be. I could not read the Bible. I could not understand the Bible. I just was confused. And so I had my precious 3-year-old daughter. And, stepping back a little bit, when I wasn't going to church, but I heard about the Lord. I knew a little something. And so I had a friend, and I knew her mother went to church, a Baptist church. And that's when my precious daughter was one. And I said, I'm not going to church now. I got to find a church. But could you ask your pastor to bless my baby? I knew enough to want to do that. And so we did that, me and along with her father, and we dedicated her to the Lord. His prayer, just word for word, happened. And I just submitted her, took her to the pastor, took her to the minister when I was too weak. And so, and I said I was going to find a church, but I hadn't done it 2 years later, and she's 3. And I said, I just know, I guess it's over for me, because I don't even know what religion I want to be. I can't understand the Bible. But my dear baby, I want her to know Jesus. Maybe she has a chance, because I'm through. Literally, I'm through. And I took her to church, put her in. I can't teach her. They can teach her, because I don't even know. And so I took her in faith to Sunday school, sat in the back of the church. There was praise and worship, and it was so powerful. God delivered me a spirit of confusion, and took all the question away, and he put on my heart, don't worry about, I was worrying about all kind of stuff. The 2 great commands: love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, love your neighbor as yourself. And that was it. And from then, that point, I could pick up my Bible and read it like the newspaper. It was completely clear. And so when Mary, and that's when it was, the Lord told me that my daughter was his special child, and I've already shared that with her, that's what he said. And I know it sounds crazy, but when God speaks to you, so I'm sharing this at this point, because when you're doing your thing or you're lost, and God speaks to you, you don't know he's going to enter your life. And any time God makes himself aware to you, you now have to make a choice. If he didn't make himself aware to you, he still calls everyone everywhere to repent. But when he clearly manifests himself, are you going to obey him or not? And so when that happened to Mary, she chose to obey him. And that's why we call her a faithful mother. And so we're almost finished. Thank you for your attention here. Let's see. Mary lived a life. Let me go back one. Okay, Mary lived a life that gave God the glory, and also Mary's life was a blessing to others. So we talked about faithful mothers and faithful God. And then we always have to apply it to ourselves. So now, whether we're a mother or not, I just want to close with us focusing on what is it to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And so a faithful follower believes the things that the Holy Scriptures tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ and our condition without his salvation. And that means we're born without his Holy Spirit, and we have to believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. And by the time we die, if our faith is not in Jesus, then we all will be subjected to what the Bible speaks of, the second death. And so the first step is to believe in Jesus for our salvation. And the next step is a faithful follower obeys God just as Mary did and submits to his plans for our life. And then I just made a note that, so when I think about obedience to God, when God delivered me, he left on my heart that verse, the greatest command, to love God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. But I want you to think of something, because I kind of slowly walked through it. If you remember back when we were talking about the commandment that God gave to Adam, he said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree. That was one commandment. When God gave that commandment, he was aware that the tempter had access to them. The tempter, which is Satan, the devil. He could at least tempt them, but he had no power over them unless they gave him power. And so when I was in the situation where I was in, and God delivered me and gave me, reminded me of that greatest command, I kind of looked at that commandment just initially as, okay, don't worry about stuff. Always keep life simple and think about that. But I've come to realize that it also is just like with, it's the thing that keeps the tempter from getting control over our lives. God is not telling us that we're supposed to love him with all our heart, mind, soul, strength, just as an ideal that we may try for. He's telling us, because that's the only way that the power of sin and Satan will be kept from our life. And lots of times, and so he urges us all to continually encourage each other to obey him, but lots of times the consequences of disobedience don't grip you until you've gone too far. You always hear people go to church, read your Bible, do this, do that, and it just sounds like they're just talking, until your life gets gripped and you get into a place where only God can deliver you. Then you realize why God is constantly urging us to be obedient. And so, and then another point, a faithful follower of Jesus Christ lives a life that gives God glory. And then your life will be a blessing to others, just like Mary. And then also, the path is not going to be easy, but keep on believing and trust in the Lord. Being a follower of Jesus is not an easy path. We're always tempted, tested, we go through trials, but God said he would never leave us or forsake us. So I thank you so much for just listening to me. I pray God blesses you. It's a, I'm so glad to see you all, and just be encouraged, because lots of times, like we say, we never know what people go through. I'm not just sharing the word or studying my Bible because I'm married to a minister. You know, it's coming from something deep within me too. God actually started working on me when I was 5, but I didn't understand what he was saying. But I've come to realize, first of all, he was calling me just to have a relationship with him through Christ. But the things he told me and the way he told me, because he knew also about that tempter, he would warn me, tell me, don't do this, you need to do, well, why? Until I got deep into something, oh, that's why. And so I know that God always, he speaks to us because he wants to have a loving relationship with us, but he sees, like a mother sees, our needs, and he sees things we can't see. And so, in closing, though, I created this song for my mother's birthday. And I shared about my daughter, and I waited to share my mother, just basically in line with the story and in line with Mother's Day. God gave her the task of raising me. So so that I would grow up to give him glory, to know him and be a blessing to others. If she didn't make the sacrifices, I wouldn't be here today. And she made a lot of sacrifices, as none of us are perfect. I was far not a perfect mother. I did the best I knew how, and so did she. But she brought me to this point. And that's the thing I think that I just want to share, is that, you know, as if you're a mother, whether you're a spiritual mother or a sister or a brother, we're not only raising people and blessing people because we love them and we just want to see them do well, but you're raising someone to be a blessing to someone else. And so in closing, I want this song that we made, I made a little while back, but just be encouraged. And this song was dedicated to my mother on her birthday. And thank you, and God bless you.